The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them, and yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I spent some time with many of you in your homes this week, and it was a marvelous week of ministry for me to be with you in fellowship outside of this place and in your homes and at the senior center and at cookout and various different places that we spent time. And I asked a few of you about this parable because I confessed to you that I was feeling stuck. I confessed that this text was difficult to swim through and this sermon was proving difficult to write because I sat in your homes and you told me about your failing health and your prayers for children who have wandered. And I looked into the eyes of some of the most faithful people I have ever met in my life, and I know they pray. They pray for others mostly, but surely in the midst of doctor's appointments and new diagnoses and let's try this treatment, surely in the midst of that, they have prayed for healing time and again. And I have prayed with them and I have prayed for them. You know that story in your own life. We all do. We pray. And we pray, and our prayers for justice are not granted. We are persistent in prayer, and those we love still keep getting phone calls from doctors with bad news about cancer or heart disease. We ask those on our prayer chain to pray with us and for those we love. And often, all we can update them with is worse and worse news. So we are in good company when we ask, why won't God step in to this mess and fix it? If God is good and God is in control and God loves me, why do I suffer? Why do my children suffer? And how can you ask us to pray without ceasing and not to lose heart? I tell you that you are in good company because these questions have been on the hearts and the lips of believers for all of recorded history. Israel cried, "How long? Why, Lord?" The psalmists cry, "Have you forgotten us, Lord?" These questions are literally age old. And if we had all of the answers, we would not need faith. But we don't have the answers. So we rest in some faith mixed with some maybe sometimes healthy doses of doubt. And like today, we have a text that might be kind of hard to swallow. So let's Let's stare at it. Let's peer inside of it. We have a widow, a woman, so not a lot of social standing or power. We have a judge who doesn't care what people think and doesn't care what God thinks. Jesus tells us that the judge is unjust. And if your job is to be judge, then your job is justice. So an unjust judge isn't much good to anyone, except perhaps the corrupt. We aren't told what justice this woman needs. We're just told that she's persistent. She kept coming, it says. She kept coming to the judge to demand justice. Now, it doesn't say how many times or how often that she went to the judge, but let's just safely assume that it was often, that it was over some days and weeks and months, not one day, because a woman who comes to your office several times in one day is a nuisance. But the woman who shows up at your judge chamber doors several times every day, all the days of the week, and next week, and next week, well, he says it's wearing him out. In English, we get this tame language. The language is bothering him and wearing him out. But that's not what it says in the Greek. In the Greek, this woman is so persistent with her words and actions that he fears she may just give him a black eye. And since apparently he fears this persistent woman, he grants her the justice that she wants. We never do hear what it is she wanted. Now, we often slip easily into the pattern of placing God into every parable we have ever heard. And we like to figure out who's God in the parable and who we are in the parable, and then we can have these beautiful, just exact parallels of God and people and good and bad and justice and injustice, and we can walk away from every parable with a tidy little something we could put on a bumper sticker. Well, not this one. Jesus tells us straight up that this judge is unjust. So this parable is not about God. And just in case we're not sure that that's true, Luke says this before we even get to the parable. He says, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Jesus told them a parable about them and their need to pray. So we are to look to the woman in this parable. She's likely powerless. Now, there were some widows who had some financial resources, but we aren't told that she's one of them. And when Jesus uses women and children and orphans in a parable, he's telling you this is a powerless person. So a powerless woman has a need for justice. And the guy who can help her is unjust. Everybody knows that. He makes no secret of it, but that's the judge in her community, and that's the person to whom she has to appeal. So he clearly ignores her first request, and the next, and the next, and the next, and we don't know how long he ignores her requests, because we're just told that she is tenacious and will not be ignored. Now, there is nothing in this text that says she threatens the judge. There's nothing in this text that says she is a bully. She just won't give up. But this judge has a fear that she might get physical with him. Maybe he's not used to women, to widows who won't give up. And you know, all week, as I read and reread this text, I was drawn back to my high school and college years when I began to hear about what was happening in Chile. Pinochet was the ruler of Chile in the 70s and 80s, and he was ruthless. One of the hallmarks of his administration was that those who opposed him would simply disappear. They just wouldn't come home from work, or they would be taken off of educational campuses. And their families just simply would never see them again. The women knew that they could not overthrow Pinochet or his armies, and if they spoke up, they would also disappear, and then their children would be orphans. So they pinned the pictures of those who had disappeared to their clothing, to their dresses. They pinned pictures of husbands and brothers and sons who had gone missing. And they danced. They danced in protest. Perhaps they wept in their beds and they prayed to God. I bet they did. But the witness that they bore to the world was one of action. They showed up every day in the marketplace to dance. They danced alone. They danced in silence, to protest, to speak without speaking. They were persistent. And the image in my heart of these women in Chile decades ago just blurs together with this image that Jesus paints for us with this woman. She will not be still in her longing. And I think that these women, the women in Chile and the woman in this text today, I think that they bear witness to us that faithfulness has an agency to it. That this Christian life and this life of prayer is an active one. That this relationship we have, actually have a relationship with the Creator of the universe, and we are safe to persist. We can approach and approach and approach, and we are invited to approach and approach and approach the God of all that is. We have this relationship where we can be tenacious in our asking, and our God will not grow weary of us. This faith life, this prayer life, it is not a formula. This life of prayer is no vending machine where we say a prayer and then out pops the result that we want in the amount of time that we think is appropriate. This whole thing is a relationship. And not just between God and you or God and me, but it's a relationship with the whole church, with this congregation, and out into the world. And we have patterns for approaching. We have individual patterns that maybe we use in our own homes, on our own beds, sometimes on a tear-stained pillow. But we also come here and we pray the liturgy. Our youth taught us something about liturgy last week, that our liturgy is the words and the prayers and the songs that we use to do our work here in worship. We pray the liturgy and we trace fresh, wet crosses on our skin, and we approach the altar and we bend our knees and we hold out our beggar hands and we receive some Jesus into our bodies. And we do it every week. We approach and we approach. And then we leave here praying with our lives of service. And sometimes when we are weary with the persistence of our prayers, when we are sure prayer just doesn't change a thing, we will realize that we have been changed. For this life of faith and life of prayer is no formula. It is a relationship with our Creator. And for this, we say thanks be to God. Amen.